Radio.
You're listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy on cradio.org.au.
Wherever you are around the world today, it's great you can be here with us. Do you know God knows a lot about us? He does. He knows everything there is to know. But the most important thing that God knows about us is God knows our heart. God knows the inside part of us. And because he knows the inside part of us, he sees us in a way that no one else does. And by God seeing us in that way, it gives us the ability to live amazing lives that's very practical into our future. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Go get your family, get your friends, get everybody you love. Sit back, relax, enjoy yourself. I pray that today's message blesses you. God sees us in a completely different way than the way we see ourselves. Matter of fact, God sees us in a different way than anybody else sees us. My mum, she loved me and my four brothers. She just thought we were magnificent. I remember years after we had all left home and Mum was very elderly, Mum used to say to people, "My sons never ever argued, fought, they always all got on." And I remember a completely different story because there were times we didn't. And Mum knows us through and through, but she doesn't know us anywhere next to as well as God knows us. God looks at us with completely different eyes. And if we were able to look at ourselves, if we were able to get above ourselves and look at the way that God sees us, we would see ourselves very, very differently. We would act differently because of the way that God looks at us. Well, let's have a look at this chapter on the screen, these verses on the screen, about how God looks at people and what God judges. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I've rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I'll send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I've provided for myself a king among his sons." This is a fascinating passage of scripture. To give you a little bit of the background, God had never intended that the people of Israel would have their own king. It was always going to be, "I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people. I'm going to be your king." But the people did what people do, is the people of Israel. They look around and they see all these other nations and they go, "But they've got a king." You know, any of us who've had children, we would know that. You know how your kids go, "But you know, all my friends have. And literally they whinge sufficiently that in the end God decides, "All right, I'm going to give you king, but you'll live to regret this. I can tell you right now, you'll live to regret it." Well, the very first king they have is a king called Saul, not to be confused with Saul, who became Paul in the New Testament, but King Saul. And King Saul, it says he stands head and shoulders above everybody else. But in time, how many of you know that power corrupts? And he became corrupted, and the Lord's anointing as such, because he was the king that was appointed by God, the Lord's anointed rose from him. And while he was still alive, God decides that he's going to identify a new king and that the prophet Samuel is going to anoint this new king. And so God says to the prophet Samuel, his priest, God says to him, "What I want you to do is go and anoint the new king." And this is where we read from chapter 16, verse 1 again. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I've rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Verse 2. Samuel said, "How can I go if Saul hears of it," the king? "He will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.'" Number 3, "Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Yes, peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab, one of Jesse's sons, and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before me." He thought to himself, "This is the one." Verse 7, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I've rejected him, for the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Verse 8, then Jesse called Abinadab, one of the other sons, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Verse 10, Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but he's keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him for me, for we will not sit down until he comes here. He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, which meant he was young, and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, rise, arise and anoint him, for this is the one. And then Samuel took the horn of the oil, anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David. And from that day forward, and Samuel set out and went to Ramah. Fascinating passage of scripture. Here is King Saul, who has been the king of Israel. And the anointing of the Lord rises from him because he's become corrupt. He's become a corrupt king. And the Lord says to Samuel, go anoint someone else. I want you to go to Jesse's home. If you go to Jesse's home, that one of his sons will be the one. Well, Jesse pre-selects the first of his children. He says, well, it's going to be one of these ones. Surely it's not going to be the youngest, you know, who is young and ruddy of complexion, as in just young. And it won't be one of him. We'll keep him at the back. And when the very first one turns up, immediately Samuel goes, wow, look at this. You know, he's the one. And God says to him, no, don't look at the outside. Don't look at the stature of, don't look at how good looking he is. Don't look at that, because that's not my measure of judgment. That's not how I see a person. That's not. Because you're looking at the outside, but I'm looking at the inside. Now, the question is, in our society today, isn't that the way we all look at people, isn't it? Isn't that how we all look at people? We always look at the outside in many ways. We so often fail to see what's on the inside, but God doesn't view us in that way. No. God views us in a completely different way. See, we live in a crazy world. We live in a world of pressures, don't we? We live in a world that says to us, now make sure you're all happy. We live in a world that says, look a certain way, have a certain amount of things, be happy, don't forget to be happy. We live in a world that says, get a certain type of result in your study, a certain type of career, you know, have well-disciplined children, but make sure you're happy. We live in a world that says, be content, might even say, serve in the church, you know, help the needy, and then it says, but make sure you're happy. We live in a world that says, be healthy, have a good home, have good holidays, to tell your friends about, be happy. In other words, be something. And the underlying thing that we want you to be, the world is be happy. Have what you need. Have what you want. Because the outward signs of being happy and what brings happiness, all these things that you do, that's what really counts. That's what's really the most important thing. It's all these outside things that are going to make you something. And people will look at you and say, gee, look at what you have become. Look at what you have made of yourself. But God doesn't view things in the same way. Happiness is being, the world would say to us, happiness is being content with what we have. Happiness is being content with what we've achieved. And if I was to be honest, and I was to ask you the question, are you happy? Many of us would answer that question by defining and looking at and saying to ourselves, what do I have? What have I done? What do people think of me? And if I can give good answers to those things, I am happy. And all of those things in some ways are outside of us. And so the prophet Samuel, he turns up. He thinks, I've been given the job of choosing the next king, of anointing the next king of Israel. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to look on the outside of the person, and I'm going to make a decision based on what they look like, I'm going to make a decision that that's the one. And when Eliab comes before him, the very first one, God immediately goes, no, stop thinking that way. Stop thinking that way. Because that is not what I value as important. Now, stop for a sec and ask yourself this question. If your friends were to know who you are at the deepest part of you, what makes you hurt? What makes you laugh? What makes you feel? What do you truly want to experience in life? You know, would they think differently? If people really know the hidden secret desires of your life, would people treat you differently? I guarantee they would. But we live in a world where it's all about the presentation sometimes, so often about who we are. And so we don't share that inner side of us. Because if you look at the scripture, it says God looks at the heart. If you understand what heart meant in the scriptures, heart meant that center point. So heart meant that who we truly are in the depths of the very center of who we are. The heart was the middle piece. It's where we are, our truest self. That's the place that God looks at us. God is not looking at the outside of us. Samuel turns up. He gathers all of them. And isn't there's an interesting thing in here that's a little aside point. Isn't it interesting? Immediately when Samuel comes along, God gives him this news. Go and anoint one of Jesse's children. What's he say? He says, but how can I go and do that? If Saul, who's the existing king here, he'll come and kill me. And isn't it interesting that when we sometimes put our objections to God, that God doesn't even address it in the passage? Isn't it interesting that sometimes when we complain, that God says nothing about our complaint? That when we complain about fairness or circumstances before God, you know, so often God just doesn't even say anything about it at all. He just says, go do what I asked you to do. And why is that? Because God's got a bigger view. God's got a bigger view than what we've got. God sees a bigger picture. And he's kind of saying, if you would just trust me, this will work out. And so if I have to address your little concern, you know, it's going to take us a long time. You know, we read the story of Moses where God does address the issues that and concerns that Moses has. But most of the time, I found in my own life, when I complain to God, there's just silence. All I feel in my conscience, in the reading of the scriptures, in my prayer, the teaching of the church, I just keep coming back to this thing where I feel like God's saying to me, go do what I told you to do. Go do what I told you to do. And that's where God calls us to be. And that comes back to that place of trust. So if the heart is the intention, if the heart is the center place, if the heart is where our goodness is, that's what God's looking at right now. And that's when we talk about that God today is looking at us where we are at our truest self. God is looking at us at our truest self. I throughout my life, have tried to do many things. And I've failed at many things, too many to mention here. I've tried to be good at times, and I've tried to achieve things, and I've tried to behave in certain ways, and I've fallen short so often in those things. And whilst I get disappointed, if I read the scriptures, the scriptures probably tell me, but God looks at what you're trying to do. God looks at what you're trying to achieve, and God would be pleased at you. Right now, God is pleased with you if your heart is sincere toward him. Because God is not judging how you look. God is not necessarily judging your actions. God is judging you, your heart, that center point. God is looking at that part of you, the place where you are your truest self. And the fact is that most of us don't know what that is in someone else, that center point. St. Paul says in Romans, he says, how come I know the right things to do and I don't do those right things? I know what to do. I know what to do, but I can't do that. I talk about this very often because it's so much reflective of my life, but I find it's reflective of everybody's life. I know the right things to do, and I'm not doing those right things. That's the place where God is at, looking at us, because God sees that our actions fall short from what we want. We see it in relationships all the time, don't we? We behave, we speak, we act towards people that we love, and we act towards them in ways that when we come to our senses, we stop and go, I really wish, I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I didn't help. I've met a number of people over the years who a family member of theirs has died, a parent or a mum or dad or a son or a daughter or a friend. And so often they have said to me, when in the midst of their tears, sometimes years later, they'll say this, I never told them. I never told them. I never told them that I loved them. I never told them what was inside here. I never told them what was at the center of me and how I felt towards them. We always lived at the level of actions and activity. I never ever told them. See, the people of Israel, they cried out to God. The people of Israel cried out to God when they were in slavery in Egypt. And they cried out to God and they said, God, would you set us free? Would you set us free? And how had they got there? If you know the story of the people of Israel, when they were often sometimes faithful to God, and then there were people who turned against God. And when they turned against God, life didn't go so well. And then when life went when they were good towards God, life went well, when they were living the right life they were meant to live. And we see the people of Israel begin to cry out to God, and they begin to cry out from that cry from their heart. That cry from their heart, will you come? And it says in Exodus chapter 6, verse 1, it says, say to the Israelites, I'm the Lord, and I'll bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I'll redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I'll be your God. And then you will know that I'm the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I'll bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you as a possession. I'm the Lord. And Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they didn't listen to him because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. The people of Israel had been screaming out to the Lord, would you come, would you come, would you come? And that screaming turned from being something that really came from the depths of them. But sometimes because we've been so crushed by the world, we've been so crushed by our environment, when Moses came along and said, this is the promise of God, they couldn't hear it because they were looking at one man. Can you do all this? But God was coming to them and saying, hey, I've heard you cry. I've heard you cry. And some of us, we allow our outward actions to be the thing that dictate who we truly are. And our actions in the end, when we are really faithful for God, our actions come from, where do our actions come? They come from within us. Our actions come from our heart. It comes from that inside part of us. I don't know if you've ever seen big, burly, strong men, much bigger than me. And yet when it comes to looking after children or it comes to helping an old lady, you know, you look at these guys who are tough and yet they can be so gentle, so kind and so caring. What really is happening there is that there's something in their heart. There's something on the inside of them. Now, what does all of this mean? It means this, is that when God looks at you today, God loves you for who you are. God is not looking at you whether you're older or younger. God is not looking at you whether you're disabled or fully able. God is not looking at you whether you've achieved or not achieved. God doesn't look at you and go, hey, here's all the mistakes you've made and and compares that to the person who's made no mistakes or lesser mistakes. God is not looking at the outside. God is looking at the substance, the inside part of us. And when we allow ourselves, we allow ourselves to see ourselves how God sees us, it changes us. God is looking at our heart. God is looking at our intention. And there are many of you. You're going to get to heaven one day and God is going to look at you. He's going to smile at you and he's going to say, come up front, come up front. But you're going to say, but you don't know the life I lived. You don't know all the things. There are better people than me. There are people who achieve more than me. And God is going to say to you, no, but I saw your heart. I saw who you are inside. I saw you when you were alone. I saw you what you thought, what you dreamed. I saw what you intended to do, tried to do. I saw what you did in secret. And God is going to say, come in, good and faithful servant. And God is going to love you thoroughly. And the comparison that we put ourselves in when we put ourselves up against people who have or people who are outwardly famous or successful or powerful or in position, and we say, well, compared to them, I'm a nothing. I want to say to you, God sees your heart. My sister-in-law looks after a husband who 10 years ago had a bleed on the brain. And by having a bleed on the brain, he became completely crippled on the left side of his body. She doesn't seek fame. She doesn't seek praise. She doesn't seek anything at all. But for 10 years, she has looked after him night and day because he needs complete and total care. My oldest daughter has a son-in-law. Their oldest daughter is autistic and needs 24-hour care. And they have poured their heart into that little girl. And they can't do some of the things that other people can do because this little girl, who's beautiful, needs 100% care. And God looks at their heart. And often when Rosemary, my wife, talks to our daughter and her husband, Rosemary just starts crying. Because what you do is you walk into the heart of a person that is beautiful, who has poured their heart out. God is looking at your heart. He's looking at who you are, not your power, not your success, not what you have. They don't make you great in the kingdom of God. What you've achieved doesn't make you great in the kingdom of God. How well you're known doesn't make you great in the kingdom of God. You know, it doesn't. None of those things. How many dollars you have in the bank don't make you great in the kingdom of God. What makes you great in the kingdom of God is simply this: that God sees our heart, he sees our desire, and he sees us striving for him, even though we may fall far, far short from where we're meant to be. Dear Father, we thank you today that you love us, that you care us and you care for us, and that you call us to be people with the right mindset and intention, trying our very best, that your examination of us is very different to other people's examination of us. Come, Father, to us in the mighty name of Jesus and be with us, that our heart would lead us to heaven. And Father, we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy on cradio.org.au.